Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries today. Father, we just want to worship you and praise you and thank you for the abundance of all things that you've given us. Father, as we read today out of Isaiah 53, I want to praise you for this report. I want to praise you that I have believed this report. I want to praise you for the miracles I've seen out of this report. I want to praise you and thank you that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the God of Gods, that bore all of our griefs, all of our pains, all of our sins, all of our iniquities. You bore all of those things. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and you bore it all, Father. So praise you and thank you for it. Now, Lord, I ask you to give the people the revelation from this report. You said, who has this report been revealed to? So, Father, today I ask you to reveal it to everyone that hears it, that everyone may gain strength from your word in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Today I'm going to show you that, since I'm talking about unbelief this week, I want to show you that unbelief's been around for a long time. Because you go back to Isaiah chapter 53, and I'm reading out of the King James Bible. It starts off Isaiah saying, who hath believed our report? What report? This report he's fixing to quote. He's going to tell us what the Lord Jesus is going to do for us when he comes to the earth. Now, this is over 700 years before Christ came. But the prophet Isaiah was making these kind of predictions over 700 years before Christ came on the scene. But I want you to hear this report that he made. I'm starting in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Now, I'm going to tell you that the Lord reveals his word to those that are obedient and those that serve him. If you're not willing to be obedient to his word, he will not open the scriptures to you. You need to be obedient to do what he says, and then he will reveal it to you. It says in verse 2, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now you got to remember, there's hope for all of us right there, because Jesus himself, the King of Kings, when he came to this earth, he was just a natural, normal man. He was not attractive. I mean, he didn't have everything beautiful about him. He was not what people would expected him to have been. But nobody desired him because of his beauty. He was just a normal, common old man. A young man, really, not an old man, but a young man. And verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Now, right there, if Jesus bore our griefs or pains and carried our sorrows or our sicknesses and disease, then you ever stop to think why so many Christians are sick? If the Lord come and he bore our griefs, he bore our pains, and he bore our sickness and disease, now then, this report that we have here is very clearly discussed in Matthew 8:17, and it clearly says that he bore our sickness and removed our disease. So if Jesus bore your sickness and removed your disease, he bore your pain, if he did all those things for you, then why in the world do most Christians not believe this report? Well, they just don't. I don't know why we don't teach it in church. We do not teach what this book says. When you begin to get a hold of what this book says, any time, if Jesus bore your pain and he removed your sickness and disease, then any time sickness and disease begins to try to come up on you, guess who it's coming from? It's coming from the enemy. The enemy is trying to deceive you. Well, most people will just agree with the enemy. They will absolutely let sickness and disease come upon them instead of taking the word of God and quoting it to the enemy or to that sickness and disease and driving it away in the name of Jesus. Now then, you will notice that Jesus, when Peter's mother was down with a fever, he came in and he spoke to it. What, spoke to what? He spoke to it, the fever. He spoke to it and it left, and she was instantly healed. That was a spirit. That spirit of sickness and disease, that spirit of pain, was up on her, and he literally spoke to it and commanded it to leave, and she was instantly healed. And she got up and served him a meal. Well, I've done that myself since I've read this book so many times. In fact, just the other night, there was a Baptist woman and her husband, and they had some children, and they asked me to come over and speak to them about some things and to pray with them about some things. So I'd been over there about an hour and 15 minutes, and the lady, I noticed, began to hold her head and look down, and I said, "Ma'am, is there something wrong with you?" And she said, "Yes, I have developed a very, very serious headache." I thought, "It's just a demon." I said, "He's come, and he does not want you to hear what I have to say tonight. So he's clamped around your head, and he wants to create this pain so you won't be able to concentrate." I said, "Would you like to get free from it?" Well, she said, "Of course I would." I stood up, walked over there, put one hand on each side of her head, spoke to it, commanded that spirit of pain to leave her and to go to the pit now in behalf of Luke chapter 10, verse 20, where the Lord says, the every evil spirit has to be subject to me. So in his name, he has given us all power and authority over sickness and disease. So I spoke to it in the name of Jesus, commanded it to leave. Thank the Lord for giving me this authority to use his name to get these things done. And then I backed up two or three steps. I told her, I said, "Now, ma'am, tell me that you still have a headache." And she took a minute or so, or a few seconds there, and she turned and looked at her husband and her children, and she said, "It is gone. It is gone." And, of course, it never did come back. Now then, if Jesus bore your griefs or your pains, and he carried away your sorrows or your sickness and disease, then why didn't you believe the report? Jesus said there, the whole book is all about him, but it just happened to be that Isaiah is writing this in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. He says, "Who hath believed our report?" Well, I'm going to tell you, in the church today, I don't know hardly anybody that believes the report of the Lord. It's such a shame that we don't believe this book. Now then, I've got to where I believe this book. And of course, you know, I'm 64 years old, and for the first 40 years of my life, if you'd asked me, "Do you believe the Bible?" I would have said, "Certainly." But now I realize I didn't believe hardly anything in this book. I never saw God do a miracle. I never saw really any kind of significant answer to prayer. I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know how to get my prayers answered. I didn't know how to speak to sickness and disease in the name of Jesus. The enemy had deceived me, and he had done a good job. Well, he's done a good job on the whole church. But I did something about it. I started reading this book. I started reading this book in great detail, one line at a time, and looking to see what it says. But in verse 4, "If surely he has borne my griefs and carried my sorrows, yet I did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted." Verse 5, "He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed." I started reading this book personally. If he's talking to everybody there, and he says, "And with his stripes we are healed." If we are healed as the church, then why is so many Christians sick? They're sick because they've not believed this report. Who has believed the report of the Lord? "All we like sheep have gone astray." Now, I used to raise sheep when I was a young man at home. And I hate to say this, but I think I know now why the Lord called us sheep. Of all the livestock I've ever raised as a young farmer growing up on a farm with my dad, the dumbest animals I ever saw in my life was a bunch of sheep. I mean, they're just looking for a place to lay down and die. I've just never seen anything like it. But all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Now then, why don't we believe this report? Well, we don't. In verse 7, he says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off for the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. This is Isaiah talking about the Jewish people there. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. And of course, in the New Testament, we read the fulfillment of all that. It did come to pass just exactly like he said, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And verse 10 says, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. In other words, the Lord is going to see Jesus as he pays this total price for all of us, all the sins that we've committed. Everything is under the blood. And as the Lord Jesus pays the total price, then the Father will be satisfied, because that by his knowledge shall my righteous servants justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So if Jesus bore my iniquities, or my sins, he bore yours if you're a born-again Christian. Actually, he bore yours whether you're a born-again Christian or not. But you'll have to receive by faith these mighty promises, or they will not work for you. Now, if Jesus Christ bore the sin and the iniquity and the sickness, the disease, the griefs, the pains of every human being on the earth, of every one of us, I don't care who you are, what race you're from, what country you live in, Jesus bore all that for you, then what do you have to do to get saved? Merely come to the Lord and accept that. Just like he said there in verse 1, who hath believed the report of the Lord? Well, I'm going to tell you, there is not very many people on this earth that have even believed the report for salvation. There is quite a few church members. There is far less of those that are truly born again. But those that do believe, they get saved. They're born again. And the Lord has paid the price for them. But even far less believe that he also bore your sickness and removed your diseases and your pains. And when you learn that, then you can drive it away with "it is written," and you don't have to be sick anymore. Praise the Lord Jesus. We'd invite you to call us for teaching tapes, 940-242-2106. Or invite you out to our church, the Living Savior Church, every Sunday afternoon at 2 to 4. We are at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. You go out to 35 to Walnut Hill, go east on Walnut Hill, four streets, turn right on Shady Trail, about 300 yards on the right. We're in a business complex. We would love to have you. Come, praise the Lord.